showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Oh, hello everyone! Happy Friday to all! And welcome into the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. We have another edition of Overtime, a nice end of the week Friday extravaganza edition of Overtime here, if I do say so myself. Tanner Carson, Malcolm Harris, Justin Feist, who's back in the saddle after working the court last night, Lady Vols game. He is back on the ones and twos. And joining us, fourth member of the crew, we got Matt King as well. Fellas, we made it to the end of the week. We have made it once again. How are y'all feeling?
A lot better than Mason Rudolph.
I would say so.
Oh, boy.
He could have been feeling a lot worse. I mean, he could be dead right now. Is that a little too far?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I love that meme of somebody just like caved in half of his head. Obviously terrible Photoshop, but that's been fun. But I'm good. Doing well.
How was the game, bro?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
I ran. I was not a handheld camera for the first time in a while, so I had to get back in the saddle of things. But ended up okay. That's we won by 30. So
30 piece.
Took care of business.
Yeah, that was a dominating one out there. Matt, talk to me, man. How are you feeling on this Friday?
Pretty good. I actually forgot.
Matt's mic is not on. So once we get his...
Crank it up to threes.
Let's see.
It's on four, actually.
Oh, no! What's going on here? Maybe we have been rendered Mattless. Maybe that's something they have to figure out.
They're trying to silence my boy.
It's, man, of course, it just got to happen at the end of the week here. It's okay. We will persevere. We will get through this eventually here. But, yeah, guys, again, happy Friday. Glad to be with you here for the end of the week. We will be with you until 8 o'clock tonight before it is officially time for the weekend. Did it get fixed?
No.
Okay, no. That is a no. Okay, well, we will work on Matt's mic. Matt, if you have any type of hot take, just scream at the top of your lungs, okay?
You can come stand up here with me.
Or you come stand. Yeah, you just stand there with Justin.
It's all good.
Split the mic. I mean, it's okay. All about sharing here. Not a problem with that. Not a problem with that. Although I would have liked to hear you just scream to the top of your lungs. Some hot take. Now we go to Matt for his opinion on this. Well, guys, I just think it's a... Yeah, that just would have been absolutely fantastic radio.
Indeed.
We'll go ahead and just we won't beat around the bush a little bit here. Everyone's had all day to analyze this, soak this in, get their takes off about this, whether they are reasonable takes or just en fuego nuclear bomb type of takes. I saw somebody on Twitter say, like, you know how, man, Twitter can be a good place, but Twitter can also be crawling with just, like, I don't want to say idiots because I feel like that's kind of an understatement. I kind of feel like that's an insult to idiots.
Yeah.
Twitter's just got some characters out there, man.
Oh, boy.
Somebody, I quoted him today on Twitter. Somebody said that this was going to go to the Supreme Court for a lawsuit. Man, you can't take something like this to the Supreme Court. Do people know what the Supreme Court even does?
I mean,
I feel like they don't.
Protecting the integrity of Thursday night football is probably pretty high up on the list of national security interests. So
we do value
the
Thursday
Supreme
night football.
Court will tune in. I don't know.
We do value Thursday night football here in America. That is for sure. But I mean, come on. Do I really need to go in like detail exactly what happened? I feel like if you're listening to this program, you have a pretty good idea of what happened at the very. The thing is, too, this happened at the end of a game that was already decided last night in the favor of the Browns, 21-7 over the Steelers. I mean, I guess in a very dark way, this gives us something to talk about this game, because I wouldn't go mention a damn thing about this game, honestly.
Well, other than the Browns sort of figuring out themselves as far as red zone offense goes.
But how long were we going to spend on that?
Not much
maybe
time.
2 minutes.
I mean, Mason Rudolph was honestly horrible, but like now the storyline is he got bashed over the head with the helmet. So that's the narrative.
What a great night for Mason Rudolph to get bashed over the head with his own helmet, right? If he's going to figure out any night to do that, it's a night where he has 4 interceptions.
Yeah. So that was tough. So basically, I guess we should give a quick recap.
Go ahead and do one, Justin, if you want to.
Basically, so it was a pretty physical game. I believe there was 2 guys that got concussed in regulation. I think Juju Smith-Schuster went out with a concussion, and then
had another Steelers player bleeding from his ear.
Yeah,
that was
nice. I forget that player's name, but yeah, left the game after taking pretty much an egregious ear hole shot. Was bleeding out of his ear. So I mean, it was a pretty tense overall game, I guess. It was a really physical game, and then. It was the last play of the game, right? There was no.
It's like what
play 14, after the 14
brawl. Seconds, something like that. Yeah, there was no more plays.
Myles Garrett came around the edge. Mason Rudolph got rid of the ball right when Garrett got on top of him. Pretty much, it didn't look like too egregious of a tackle. But basically, Mason Rudolph ended up starting. It seemed like he started sort of a scuffle that Myles Garrett definitely ended when he ended up pulling off Rudolph's helmet. And then while he was being sort of restrained by other Steelers linemen, managed to swing Rudolph's own helmet over top of a lineman, connected pretty squarely with the top of Rudolph's skull, who people forget was in concussion protocol for just
like
a couple weeks ago for
that
horrible hit he took in another primetime game. That's what happened. And then Pouncey, one of the Steelers line, is he a lineman?
Offensive lineman.
So another one of the offensive linemen was they were punching all up on Myles Garrett, you know, through his helmet after it happened, and Pouncey kicked in the head a couple times. And then I guess we should give the summary judgment by the NFL. Does anyone have that in front of them right now?
Yeah, here we go. So NFL, they didn't take too much time in really trying to discuss amongst themselves what the punishment's going to be. They handed those down earlier today. So here's your biggest one. Of course, Myles Garrett, he is, like a lot of people predicted after the game last night, he will not play again this season. The official ruling on Myles Garrett is that he is suspended indefinitely. So, but NFL said in the statement that it's going to be the rest of the regular season. And did you all read the official statement? They also said regular season and playoffs. Trying to passive-aggressively make comments at the Cleveland Browns. I mean, even though it is still a possibility, Browns ain't getting to the playoffs.
Little dig there.
They're not going to get to the playoffs. Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. But yeah, he's out for the rest of the season. The speculation is that the NFL is going to take more time and decide what to add on to this, because they're thinking he's probably going to miss some games next season as well.
Really?
That's what people might be thinking, because it's still not done.
That'd be wild.
It's still not done, so it would definitely be something unprecedented for sure. So that's Garrett. That's the big one right there. So let's see. He will have to meet with Roger Goodell before being reinstated next season. So I guess it just, you know, all depends on the content of the meeting. I wouldn't think he would miss any games next season, but a lot of analysts are saying it could be a possibility. So that's what Myles Garrett. And I'm looking at the other punishments here. So here we go. Another Browns player suspended, defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi. I think that's how you say his last name. He suspended 1 game. He had the shove of Rudolph while Garrett was down on the ground, pouncing. The rest of the Steelers were getting after him. Rudolph's just standing there watching it. And then you have Ogunjobi. He comes out of nowhere and gives him like a pretty hard shove to the ground. Certainly not the most egregious thing you've ever seen, but I think we'd all agree. Kind of cowardly on his part, because he did come up from the back.
He did.
Not down dude without a helmet. So he gets 1 game for that. Marquise Pouncey, however, he is getting a 3-game suspension for just kicking the ever-loving crap out of Myles Garrett's head, which had a helmet on, which I'll bring this up too. Is it still one of the dumbest things ever when you're trying to like punch or kick someone who still has a helmet on? You do like more damage to yourself at that point.
Probably, but with Maurkice Pouncey and he's defending his guy, there's probably some extra adrenaline behind those kicks and punches.
He's not thinking about logic.
I don't think I'd want to be the crash test dummy inside to determine whether or not Pouncey can punch through a helmet and do damage. So
I don't think there was a lot of logical thoughts of anyone involved last night.
You got to protect your guy, man.
That's also true. It's almost like an instinct type of thing. So Maurkice Pouncey gets three games for that. So that's your three players who are being suspended. Also, the NFL today fined each organization, the Browns and the Steelers, $250,000 for the incident. Garrett, of course, is going to appeal his suspension. And Pouncey and Ogunjobi have three business days to file an appeal of their own. So that's the punishment. So now, who wants to go first? Does anyone want to go ahead and get their take? Do we want to give more explain this? I mean, because Justin did a good job about laying it all out there for those of you who probably have heard of what happened but don't know the exact sequence of events. Like I said, it's almost 6:15 right now. This happened last night. There's been takes flying on ever since last night. You had Adam Schefter simply tweet out the word assault.
Oh, my.
That's going to be used for such a meme for such a long time now. Just assault. But the most minor thing.
Dog.
Or maybe if it's like something that's like clearly like awful, vicious assault, just reply, assault.
I foresee a lot of non-PIs or PI overturns.
Assault.
It's going to be, yeah, assault.
I mean, you've had some people who, I mean, when it comes to incidents like this, and certainly as far as on-field fighting and violence outside of like actual hits go in the NFL, everyone's saying this is either the worst thing they've ever seen, depending on what you have seen, or I think definitely the consensus is it's the worst thing since Albert Haynesworth stomped on a dude's skull. He only got, what, five games for that?
I think it was four. And yeah, I think it was five. Five, yeah.
So this is clearly something that doesn't happen all the time. I don't think I need to say that. But when it comes to incidents like this, Twitter blows up. People are known to really have some takes that are out there in left field. I would say so myself. You've had people saying that Myles Garrett should be thrown in jail. You've had, like I said, I've seen some idiots talk about, you know, take this to the Supreme Court because Mason Rudolph hasn't gotten any type of punishment. It's all over the place. But I think us on this show, I think we're reasonable people. I know we're reasonable people. So let's go ahead and talk about this. Who wants to go first?
I think a good question to ask here is, does everyone agree with the suspension times that were given?
For each player?
Yeah.
I agree with Garrett. It should have been the rest of the season. Man, you could make the argument Pouncey could have got a little more. And, yeah, one game for Ogunjobi is good, too. I think that
– Doesn't Mason Rudolph get indefinitely – or no. suspended, too?
No.
No. There was no ban for Rudolph?
See,
no.
He didn't get anything.
What did I read? The first ESPN article I read said something about Rudolph.
It must have been like a mistype. He didn't get anything.
He got a fine.
Yeah, see, Mason Rudolph should have got more. That's where I will disagree. You could argue.
Oh, it must have been a typo because the first iteration of the ESPN article said Rudolph has been banned for the remainder of the regular season.
No, yeah, that was a typo.
No, sir.
Oh. That was a typo.
That was – okay, so I went around all day thinking that Rudolph got – banned too.
I think you could have gave him a heavy fine and maybe suspended him a game. Rudolph definitely should have gotten some punishment because his hands aren't clean.
Yeah,
his hands definitely aren't clean.
It was funny though how right off the all the press conferences it was like immediately like Rudolph did nothing wrong, which is not true. Like he sort of instigated it at the beginning.
You've had time to analyze the film.
Yeah, we've checked the tape, the screenshots. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Garrett being done the rest of the season. Ogunjobi, that's fine. But I mean that was kind of like a pretty weak way to go at a fight. There was like a whole fight going on. You have a guy, one of your guys is 3-on-1
right over there, and you're going to go up and shove the guy that's just staring at refs with his hands in the air.
I couldn't agree more with that.
That's whatever. Pouncey. I guess three games is all right. It could have been worse, like you said, Tanner. That being said, I don't have any problem whatsoever with his conduct. I think if I'm in the Steelers front office, like, I'm not doing any sort of discipline because he's taken after your quarterback.
He was being very ride or die, and that's what a lot you of people do. Been saying because, I mean, it's not the same thing, but, I mean, he was ride or die for Aaron Hernandez, too, even after Aaron Hernandez was in prison and all that. So
free
Marquise Pouncey, very loyal person. That's all I'm going to say.
He's a guy you want on your team, man. He's going to stick up for you.
Especially if you're a quarterback and he's an offensive lineman, for sure.
Quite obviously. But Malcolm.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on any of that?
Bro, we might have to cut the brick and come back.
We probably will like split this into two segments. Yeah. Do you want to say anything initially before we do?
Initially, yeah. I think that as far as suspensions, I'll tell you why after the break. I do not think that there should be an indefinite suspension for Miles. I think Pouncey could add a little more, man, to me personally. I get what you're doing, though. Like, I completely understand why Pouncey did what he did. I would have suspended dude that pushed Mason Rudolph more just for being, dude, that's, I can't say the word I want to say, but y'all know what
we
I'm
know
exciting.
What you're thinking.
Okay. And Mason definitely should have had at least minimum two games. That's just me personally, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, definitely, and, yeah, a whole lot to get into when it comes to this situation. Not anything that can be contained within one segment here. We'll pick up the Myles Garrett talk when we come back. And then after that, get into a little bit of Tennessee basketball talk. The Vols are up in the Great White North as we speak, probably getting some Tim Hortons. Probably freezing a little bit right now. They're set to take on number 20 Washington tomorrow. We'll talk about that one later on in the hour. We got college football to talk about. Another huge weekend in college football, brother, that we're going to get into. We will preview the rest of this week in the NFL as well. Tennessee bye week, man. Don't have to stress. Do not have the stress. So it's going to be a good one here. And if you would like to hop on the program, you can just call the Next Door Home Group hotline at 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Overtime is the show, and we will be back after this break. We are back live in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's go ahead and do it on this Friday. Make it a good one, Malcolm. Ooh, make it an extra one. Come on, Matt. You can't talk right now, but you can tap. Pick you up some Truly, guys. It is Friday. Go to any of your local grocers. Go to a convenience store. Get you some Truly for this weekend. Whether you're firing up ESPN Plus to watch Tennessee, Washington. I still can't believe that. Or watching any of the fantastic college and NFL football action this weekend. Do it with a light, refreshing taste of Truly Hard Seltzer. 13 flavors right now. And I heard Nate this morning on 3 and Out, Malcolm. Truly's working on new flavors.
What else? I mean, they're about to get exotic with it.
I think they're about to get, like, lemonade.
Ooh!
They already got the lemon, but they sent us some samples of lemonade.
Ooh.
A few weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
I was about to say, there's not any right now.
Yes,
but there were lemonade samples. So Truly is expanding on the flavor profile a little bit. 100 calories in a 12-ounce can, less than a gram of sugar, less than 2 grams of carbs, gluten-free. It's not going to weigh you down. Drink what you truly want with the light, refreshing taste of Truly Hard Seltzer. Back on this Myles Garrett thing, we got more time to talk about this now. So Justin kind of gave his take on the suspensions. We all kind of gave our take on the punishments handed out by the NFL. Malcolm, I know you want to talk a little bit more about this. We didn't have time last segment. Well, now, sir, the floor is yours. What you got for us?
I appreciate it, man. So I've been thinking about this all day. Ever since it really happened, I've been on my phone. And I want to take you guys back to a month ago. You guys remember a fan hit the big, bad assaulter, Myles Garrett?
Yeah, we talked about that and talked about what an idiot he was for doing that.
And you remember what Myles Garrett did? He didn't hit him with a helmet. He called the police. You know?
Yeah.
So for me, this image that Myles Garrett is just a big bad thug, get him out the NFL, that a lot of people are saying, even analysts that, you know, we love and respect, Adam Schefter with the assault tweet, I think it was a little far-fetched, man.
I still can't believe he just tweeted the word assault.
I think that was just naive and just the heat of the moment, man. But I just want to say and clarify before y'all call up here, I think Myles is wrong. I think Myles should be suspended for the remainder of the regular season. Indefinitely, no. I think we should wash our hands and just act like it didn't happen. I will say Mason Rudolph, guys, if you notice, it was a screenplay. That is why Myles Garrett went. He didn't know that the ball was gone. Any defender, when you're looking at that, you don't know you're finishing the play. Didn't know the ball was gone. Went down. Mason, it's a lot of M's going on. Mason Pudolph, like I like to call him right now, he was poo last night, guys. Had four INTs.
Four.
And there were bad interceptions. On the fourth one, if you guys notice, he rips off his chin straps in frustration. So, you know, the kid is really, really, you know, heated. So, whenever Myles pushes him down, he grabs, guys, the back of the helmet. All right, if your chin strap is effectively, that is pushing your chin and head upwards, it could pop your head from your neck. I mean, that could be a very serious neck injury. So, football is a retaliation sport. It's just what it is. You go for me, I'm going to go for you, vice versa. So, Myles took it far, said, hey, you want to go for helmets? Let's do it. Let's go for helmets. And he did, and then from there, he swung the helmet. Now, Pouncey, I'm going to get to Pouncey. I'm cool with what he did because you have to protect your quarterback. I'm not cool with jumping somebody. And that's what they did last night, straight up. Who I'm not cool with the most is the guy that pushed Mason Rudolph when his back was turned without a helmet, one. And two, I'm really upset with the Browns and their defensive line. You're going to let Myles, your star player, outside of Odell and Baker, get beat up. Are you serious? And you're not going to come defend. And then, to make matters worse, Baker Mayfield at the end is saying, yeah, there's no place in the game for that. I don't care if I killed somebody on that field. You have my back in the public eye. You can come cuss me out after the game, locker room, man to man. But to throw me under the bus, that shows me what Baker's leadership is like.
Do you feel like that was more a Baker at that moment, knowing what the whole offseason and then the way this season has started, all the everything just coming, I guess, to a head about the pressure getting to him about him as a leader and him as, he's going to be a bust, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, I guess he was trying to save face PR at that moment by trying to take that stance.
That's what I think so, too. I think he literally wanted to save him and make himself seem like the leader, the accountability, the big alpha dog. But a true alpha doesn't do that. You talk to your guys behind the back and just be like, hey, I don't think you were in the right here. I'm going to defend you in front of all those people. But, the suspensions, man. Myles, I get it, man. I understand where you're coming from, but you can't do that. There's no place in the game for that, and you're going to be suspended. And he's accepted the suspension. It is what it is. I know one thing, though. In 2 weeks when they do play again, I hate to use the term bounty gate. Yo, it's some money on Baker's head, man.
I think they're going to need the National Guard out of that one. I think they need the National Guard in Pittsburgh. Like that's going to be, whew. Man, just 2 weeks, too.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, the Browns have been very, like, apologetic as an organization about the whole thing. And you talk about how Baker Mayfield, like, immediately, like, didn't stick up for Myles Garrett. Pretty much nobody in the Browns organization stuck up for him. This is the first time, I believe, that something of this degree has happened. I mean, there's been fights in football before, but I was kind of surprised that this is the first time that a helmet has been used as a weapon.
The last time I can think of seeing, like, in a big type of notable game, college or NFL, that a helmet's been used as a weapon, I thought that Miami FIU fight in 06, they had the big brawl at the end, and there was a Miami player who came off the bench just swinging the helmet. That's the last thing I could think of. I'm surprised. Are we sure this didn't happen, like, back in the day?
Man,
like helmet fighting?
Maybe.
In my lifetime, and y'all our lifetime, I haven't seen this.
Certainly not in our lifetime, not in the modern era.
To the greater point, like, this was an unprecedented, like, level of, I guess, retaliation on the football field. And I was a little bit surprised that Baker, you know, didn't, you know, stick up for Garrett at all. It kind of seemed like the narrative that got pretty much accepted right away was Myles Garrett 1,000% in the wrong, and like Mason Rudolph was the victim, which I don't completely agree with. But from Baker Mayfield's point of view, like, you, to me, you have to come out and completely condemn what happened and Garrett's actions, because if, like, if you think about it, this is the first like quality Browns win of the season.
Yeah.
There, this is a potential like pivot point at this point in the season. Browns find a way to win a game. This is the first, I heard this, I might be wrong, but I believe this is correct, first time they beat the Steelers and the Ravens regular season.
Mm-hmm.
First time franchise history.
That they beat both in the regular season. They're trying to gain momentum, and then their best play, easily the best player they have on the field for their defense, does this. So I don't necessarily, you know, fault Baker for coming out and condemning that right away. And then as far as Pouncey, so how many games would you have liked? You said just the regular season for Myles Garrett.
To me, for Myles, I would have liked regular season. I would have liked an additional game for Pouncey. Because, I mean, man, when you kick somebody in the helmet like that, that's malicious.
I mean, Mason Rudolph got hit in the head with the helmet.
Bro,
and
a helmet,
fine to talk to the media after.
It looks worse than it is. A helmet is not that heavy. Like, I saw somebody compare it to a brick.
Did you see that video? The kid split a chair with it.
I did see that video too.
And he didn't even swing the helmet that hard.
But I know Myles is in the wrong, guys. But I'm just saying, like, Mason Rudolph, especially in the press conference, really ticked me off because he's trying to spin this as into I was bullied situation.
I mean, to his credit, he used the tools to his advantage, and the media was ready to go in on Garrett, so he got to kind of wash this crappy performance.
Now you have Rudolph's agent, by the way. He's trying to weigh out all the legal options. Did you see this as well?
But can Myles do a countersuit? Could he do a countersuit for him grabbing at the helmet first?
I mean, they're playing football on a football field.
See,
I don't really think
that's why I don't think there's any, like, when I saw people bringing up like police and lawsuits, I'm like, you're not going to have a basis for anything either. If it's Myles or if it's Rudolph, you're not going to have a basis, because what happens on the football field is supposed to stay there. Even if it's something as egregious as this, it's still within the confines of football. That's why there's never any charges pressed when there's any type of physical altercation in any sport. I mean, as long as you're not, Myles Garrett didn't go back to the locker room and get like an AK or something like that. Gilbert Arenas. I know that's like a very extreme like comparison, but I'm saying is he didn't like premeditate, you know, try to like, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say, like bring the outside weapons and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, you can't use, what I'm trying to say is you can't make this like any type of legal thing.
The thing is, I don't have a problem with what, like, I think Pouncey's punishment is, you know, I think it's the right amount of games, if not too many. Several, you know, other NFL players defended or kind of gave Pouncey props after this happened. Keenan Allen tweeted, yeah, Pounce, straight up, don't touch my quarterback, let alone disrespect him like that. Basically saying, like, good job, Pouncey, for defending your guy. Reggie Ragland said, if that was Pat, as in Patrick Mahomes, go ahead and cancel Christmas. and Ladarius Webb said, F dat, Marquise Pouncey, you got to do what you got to do. If they hit Lamar with a helmet, I swear it would be a riot at that exact moment.
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Like, I don't want to seem like I'm
what he had to do.
Go ahead, man. My bad.
I forget where I was going, but
Malcolm, do you think that the Pouncey suspension is not as bad as Myles, just because, like, you are comparing in that moment Pouncey, like, right after Garrett does swing the helmet?
I'm just comparing damage, man. And I'm looking at Myles like, man, like, you got kicked in the groin. You got your helmet lifted up that could have severely broken your neck or done some damage. Then from there, you get jumped by three dudes. That's how I'm looking at it from the outside. So you got to do what you got to do. It just, I tweeted this yesterday, man. It's not about the action from Mason, but it's about the reaction. Everybody always sees the second guy. And in this case, Myles, If he took it there, he took it there. But what you just said is right, though. If Lamar, if Matt Ryan got that same hit, you know I'd be up here just fuming. If Nick Foles, if Derek Carr, I mean, we can name all of our quarterbacks. If they got that same hit, we know where we would stand. So it's just it's a slippery slope. I just hate it for Miles because I don't think this is him.
If it was Derek Carr who took that hit of like a Raiders home game, you wouldn't have to worry about just like his offensive line. You'd have to worry about Raiders fans actually like attacking.
Oh, somebody would have a strap in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
I think Darren Waller would regress to some criminal activity.
You think
probably defend Derek Carr's honor.
You would have a bunch of like spiked shoulder pad wearing members of the Black Hole just come out into the field and just shank people. That's what would happen, honestly. But I'm sitting here trying to think, man. We all really just as a society, we have to really be thankful that Myles Garrett didn't actually make contact on the temple with the crown of the helmet. Like, we gotta be really thankful we didn't see anything like bad happened to Mason Rudolph last night, because I couldn't imagine this conversation right now. Something like really bad happened.
But what if something happened bad to Miles?
That's also
like, what if his neck was snapped? Would Mason be freak accident, or would it be he's a villain?
Me personally, I would look at that video and I would definitely vilify him. Definitely if I see that, because I don't think his hand was caught.
That narrative just has to go away. That his hand.
Do you think he tried to kick him in the groin on purpose, or was he just trying to just kick and it just?
I told y'all, man, what I think. I think he had a really, really bad game, was really, really upset, and tried to take it out on him, and got caught and is running back to his mama and said, "That bully hurt me." That's what I think happened.
I mean, he did hurt him.
He really did.
He wore that helmet. Wore it.
I was just trying to be nice. He said, "Mason, you lost your helmet here. I'm going to try to put it back on you really hard."
That was stupid, man. That's one of the stupidest plays I've seen in football, for real.
Man.
Are we going to leave this in this segment, or are there going to be?
No, we'll go ahead and move on a little bit. Talk a little bit Tennessee-Washington on the other side here. I was just going to leave and say that I can't wait for these two to play in 2 weeks.
Dog.
It's like one of those watching a train wreck type of things. I want to see what that environment looks like.
I wish the suspension was like, it applies, but not for your rematch in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
You get to go back on the field.
Man.
You talk about some ratings.
AFC North. AFC North, different type of league. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We are way past overdue for a break. Talk a little bit about Tennessee, Washington on the other side. You're listening to Overtime. Back on Overtime, rolling along on this hour one of this Friday edition of the program. Talked a lot about Myles Garrett. I didn't think we'd spend that much time talking about it, but
I mean, it's one of the biggest stories, man.
That really is unprecedented, what we saw.
Crazy. I couldn't believe it.
It won't be the last time we mention it, for sure. But moving on a little bit, while it might not be a Tennessee football Friday, we can call this a basketball Friday. Malcolm's got the SEC championship shirt. Matt, show the shirt. Matt's got the same shirt.
You got this shirt on?
Oh, you don't? Wait, no, it was Jake Lester.
It was Jake, yeah. Shout out to the boy.
Sorry, I got the interns mixed up.
J-Dog.
I got our intern mixed up with the Drive's intern. Sorry about that.
Can't disrespect Matt King like that, man.
Sorry, Matt.
It's all good. I'm still wearing my orange.
He does have orange on. I mean, I got something Tennessee. I got a Pred shirt.
It's really hot back here.
But
I mean, y'all just got the flames back there. That's why.
Ooh.
That hot fire.
Love that compliment.
Justin's like, bro.
But it is a basketball Friday. Tennessee up in Toronto. James Naismith Classic. Y'all know James Naismith is a Canadian-American, right?
Yes.
Does that make basketball a Canadian game? I don't want them to claim that. I mean, the Raptors are the champions.
Technically.
But it did start in America, though. It's American sport, though. Yeah. It did start in Massachusetts. They can have hockey and Canadian football and curling. I don't even know if curling's Canadian sport or not, but they can have all that, though. But they're Tennessee set to take on number 20 Washington, 5 o'clock tomorrow. Again, that's on ESPN+, so either sign up for ESPN Plus, do that free trial if you don't have it, or just hang out with someone who does. And I'm sure any of our local establishments will have the game on. You can go check out a sponsor like Elkmont Exchange, perhaps. I know they will have that game available. But Tennessee 2-0, Washington is 2-0 as well. Again, like I said, number 20 in the country right now. It just keeps getting a little more tougher for Tennessee as it goes on right here. This is going to be the first time away from Thompson Bowling Arena in this young season. I'm going to tell you what Washington's already done. So they open up the season. They played Baylor, played number 16 Baylor, neutral site game. They won that one 67-64. And then Tuesday, they had a home game against Mount St. Mary's. Slugfest a little bit. They won it, though, 56-46. So Washington, known for being a very, very good defensive squad. And I want y'all to go ahead and be prepared for it. If you already didn't know this about Washington, they will be in the zone the entire game. They love 2-3 zone and a little bit of matchup zone as well.
Yuck.
When's the last time we played like a true like zone team? I can't think of
one. I can't think of one either off the top of my head.
I'm sure maybe we played one that was like a mid-major for like some home game, but I can't tell you when it was, though. But like any zone team, it's going to be like defense first right here.
Of course.
Yeah, they run the zone very well to that point. They currently lead the NCAA in blocks. They have
they're 11. Averaging what, like 11 a game?
Yeah.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
I mean, only through two, but still. Good Lord. But yeah, a lot of talent. Young talent, though, on this Washington Husky squad. They are going to be starting 2 5-star recruits, man. 2 5-star recruits who are freshmen, still starting off in their first season here. I'm trying to look up exactly who they are. I know one of them is Jaden McDaniels at the forward.
Isaiah Stewart.
Isaiah Stewart's the other one. Do you have the exact numbers in the class they were?
No, I don't know that.
Okay, but I know they were both 5-stars, and we've already mentioned this a little bit. Quade Green, starting at point guard, played Kentucky last year, and got immediately eligible to play for the Huskies.
It's crazy how that works.
Great! I wouldn't know anything about that, getting a very talented transfer to have his waiver cleared.
I wouldn't know
anything about that. But guys, early thoughts on the game tomorrow. And if you already have a prediction, we can go ahead and get those out of the way as well. What are we thinking about this one here? Very tough test. Is there a line out? Because as of this morning, there was no line out in this game.
There's no line out as I know. Right now I'm looking for one.
There's a line. I'm expecting Tennessee to obviously be slight underdogs at a neutral site here. But playing a young and talented team, playing the zone. What are we thinking about this one tomorrow?
We are actually favored, I believe. The game's at 5 o'clock, right?
It is.
Yeah, so Washington, Tennessee, we are favored by 2.5 right now.
Okay, then.
On Bovada, so.
News to me.
According to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, we have a 74% chance to win. Excuse me, 73% chance to win.
So they're respecting us.
A little too much.
Love respect, I guess, a little bit.
As far as predictions go, I won't give an exact score because I'm not good at that in basketball. But I say I think we cover maybe 3-point, 4-point win.
Malcolm, how about you, man?
Give me Tennessee 80, Washington 79 in a thriller. I think Lamonte.
So you think there's going to be some scoring in this one?
Yeah,
is what you're thinking.
I
over under is 135.
I'm taking the over.
That would hit the over and then some. I'm just – this is obviously going to be another huge litmus test for Lamonte Turner. When you play a zone defense like that, what's the key to breaking it? You got to be successful in the middle of that zone. You have success right there. I think Lamonte Turner can be good at that. I think he can be good at penetrating that zone and making some plays. He was making plays all game against Murray State to the tune of, again, 14 assists, the most the Tennessee players had in 25 years.
How many turnovers?
Zilch.
Goosey.
Zilch. So he's got to come through big again. And guys, I want to see something out of Josiah. I'm not saying I needed like 15 plus out of him. I just want him to look confident. Even if that is just him facilitating, because he is the pass first guard, it still looks like he's having some issues trying to find his own shot. I really want to see something out of him.
I'd love to see like 10, 5, and 5. That would just be lovely.
The big question for y'all is, though, Eve Pons, has this been, I mean, is this going to be something that's a trend, him showing up on the offensive end, or do you think we might see him come back down to earth tomorrow?
Man, for me, I hope I'm wrong, but I think he comes down to earth tomorrow because he has been the best player on the floor for this young, early Tennessee team. So,
I think he'll keep up the scoring. I don't think he'll, you know, have a third straight game of breaking his own personal record, but I bet he'll have 10, 12 points maybe. But Washington's a really long team, so they'll be able to challenge him somewhat, even though he's really strong. They have 7 players listed at 6'9 or taller, most in the Pac-12, so very tall team.
Yeah, very tall, and we mentioned those 2 5-star forwards again, Jay McDaniels and Isaiah Stewart. They are both at 6'9". So this is going to be the first time this season that you have seen Tennessee face an opponent that's going to give them a size disadvantage. But I think you have pieces to work around that. Again, you're just going to have the guys that have been showing up to continue to show up and see something out of these freshmen. I want to see something out of these freshmen, too. I really don't know exactly what to expect. I will say, Malcolm, I'm going to go the opposite of you. I think it's still going to be a close game. I think this might be one in, like, the upper 50s, honestly.
Okay. Who you got pulling out the dub?
I got to have to go Washington in this
All right,
one.
Cool.
But early season loss to a ranked team, sometimes teams need something like this.
Nothing to frown at all.
Basketball season. Absolutely not. We're up against it for another break. We're going to wrap up hour one of overtime when we come back here on this Friday. 865-546-8200 is the number to reach us on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Back with more after this.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
This final segment of Hour 1 of your Friday edition of Overtime. It's brought to you by MyBookie, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. Go over to MyBookie.ag, sign up for an account. If you don't have one yet, use the promo code at Knoxville when you do so. Get that deposit bonus. They will double your first deposit bonus up to $1,000 when you use the promo code Knoxville when you create your account. MyBookie has the most ways to win. They have the most ways to get in on the action, period. The most prop bets in the business. Nobody pays out faster than MyBookie. So, again, go over to MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. Get in on that college football and NFL action this weekend especially, which we're going to tackle coming up a little bit in hour two. It's MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. But we go to the association, gentlemen. We go to the Association of the National Game of Basketball.
Yes, sir.
It's what we do for this quick little take on this. What was going to be a lead-in story if the whole Miles Garrett Mason Rudolph thing did not happen last night. But break out your hoodies. Break out your hoodies in the Pacific Northwest. Melo has found a team, and he has found a home, at least for a little bit, with the Portland Trailblazers. And he's back. D-Wade and LeBron, very happy. It's the Banana Boat Crew, man.
I'm so happy.
You're so happy about that. What do y'all think he's going to do with the Blazers? Is he going to stay with the Blazers the rest of this regular season? How long of a stay is this going to be?
I just want him to put up 20 shots his first game because I don't think this is going to last long, fellas. But if Melo's going to go out, I want him going out Kobe-like, taking 53 shots, 50 points. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them. Definitely just chuck up all the shots you can. I mean, you've been practicing in, you know, horrible gymnasiums in all sorts of third world countries getting ready for this moment with grainy footage that your agent has been siphoning back to NBA teams. And I'm personally very happy for Melo in this moment because we've been waiting for him to get back in the league. He's wanted to be back in the league, and he finally got his shot, and hopefully he can blaze it up there.
Out for over a year, man, the 35-year-old Melo signs a non-guaranteed deal with Portland. Oh, no, the Blazers, they've tried in the past to get Melo.
They have.
They tried.
Tried to do a trade, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Made an attempt to acquire him back when he was with the Knicks as well. So, I mean, I don't know how much he can really contribute to this team, but I'm kind of with y'all. I mean, this is one of our childhood players. You just want to see him try, right? Go down the blaze of glory.
Who the Blazers have right now? Like,
they got Dame. They got Dame Lillard.
Besides Dame,
they got CJ McCollum, okay. Obviously, and then after that, there's a steep drop off, man. They got Rodney Hood, Nasir Little, Zach Collins. I believe they got Powell.
So depth chart, minutes wise, how many minutes do you think he'll get?
I think he can get 20. I think he can crack 20 minutes. So we'll see. I just want I want Melo to shoot the ball every time he get it. So don't listen to me, Melo. You'll be out the league.
I was about to say, would he be gone in less than a week if he tried to attempt that?
100%, bro.
I'm just excited about Monday. He gets to play the Rockets.
Oh,
does he really?
That's Monday?
I think so. I'll check that.
Okay, then. Well, we have something to keep an eye out for Monday. I just want to look at that box score. I want to see like a 5 of 22.
5 for 22, man.
Love it, man.
13 points, 0 assist.
This is going to be his last stop in the league, right?
Unless he does something and the Lakers, you know, yeah, it is, man.
He's trying to just do good enough to where he can, not good enough to where he stays on with the Blazers, but good enough to where it's like, the Lakers need an option, come playoff time. Clear up a bench spot. Melo can just ride the pine to a ring. You finally get it. I won't hate it. I certainly will not hate it whatsoever.
I mean, he could do better than KCP. Dude is off. Dude's trash, but we'll talk about that another time.
I'm throwing mop out on that court. Have a better stat line than that. Up against it, end of hour one here. Hour two of overtime's coming up next. 865-546-8200 to hop on the Next Door Home Group hotline. Be back with more right after this break. This is Robinson. Jesus loves you more than you will know.